Okay, James chapter 2. Still thinking about a course of study on Wednesday night. And so I want to look at James 1 last week. Let me just look at a few verses here in James 2, verses 1 through 13. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's pray. Lord, here is a message that really the world has been saying they want to hear for years and years. And yet they will not look here for the answer. And it's typical and natural. But the good things we often want in life, Lord, we find that we do not seek you for those as a nation and as people in this world. So I pray, Lord, that this matter will be something we rejoice in, because, Lord, we're talking about you tonight and how you are, then how we're to be in response to you. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be more Christ-like, more heavenly-minded. And, Lord, that this message also would thunder forth into our world, which speaks as though they want this but do not practice it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Saw a headline on the Drudge Report, which is where I start for all my news. And the headline said, self-parking car plows into journalists. Now that caught my attention. We've heard lately that cars are driving themselves. And we also have heard lately, if you've been looking, how many of these cars that drive themselves are getting into accidents. Cars now are being tested to drive from the east to the west coast by themselves, which is a great thing to me, if they work. But this headline, self-parking car plows into journalist. So a car was parking, I think it was a Volvo, and it went about its parking, and there were journalists in the way watching this phenomenon, and it paid no attention to them, just plowed right into them. I don't know that anybody got seriously hurt. It's a low speed. But it turns out that the car comes with an auto avoidance technology. It means that the car is programmed out of the gate to avoid automobiles. So you're on the road, automobile's coming up, it brakes, and you know, one pulls out, it avoids it. It's got that. But the people avoidance is extra. You have to pay extra to get people avoidance. And so this car did not have people avoidance in it, and therefore it did not avoid people. That's an instance of a car showing no partiality. It made no judgment as to the people that were there, but it should have in this case. It should have recognized, and you would think they would put that in as a core feature, that it would avoid people if it's going to avoid cars. But there should have been that in this car. And if it was in there, the car would not avoid humans on the basis of any kind of racial or ethnic or gender reality. It just would avoid all human beings. So in that case, it would be, if it had the proper technology, it would be impartial. It would show no partiality in judgment. It wouldn't run over poor people. It wouldn't run over Republicans and leave Democrats. It wouldn't run over, you know, a person that didn't like the same sports team as the owner of the car. It would just be impartial. And to the world, this is the great goal. We hear it all the time that we need, and it's said really by those who are fostering more inequality. We hear it most from them these days, of how the world should be equal, that there should be no inequality. We should all have equality. It's even being pressed into marriage, that every person should be able to marry, a homosexual should be able to marry each other and all of that. So, but there is a cry for equality. It's not all moral, it's not all right, but a lot of it is. There shouldn't be any kind of inequality in regard to a person. The rich, the poor, the black, the white, the mighty and the lowly, others are humans. And in the eyes of God, there should be none of that. But the world sees that there is inequality, and so in order to fix it, what the world does is create more inequality. This is always the way of the world, it seems. If you want to fix something, you mess it up and try to fix it that way. So, and then it gets in, swings to the other direction. And that's a political or a social commentary, which I'll just leave as an illustration there. But we see it played out in the news these days. If criminals are shot, lately if a white cop shoots a black perpetrator, it turns into a big race riot. And that just shows that things have not gotten better with the addressing of these things, but worse. But the Bible does teach that there is a way of equality, that there is a moral high standard of impartiality. And that this is the way God is. God is impartial. God does not get moved in his judgment of people based upon their standing in this world, based upon the color of their skin, based upon their education, based upon whether they have some great big job which is public and powerful in this world. God has none of that. But it's natural for us to show partiality. The Bible says that men look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. We don't see the heart. We can't see the heart. We are moved by outward appearance. When a young man is looking for a wife, and the younger, the more, I guess, prone this is, but it's natural, is you look not for quality of person, many of these young men, but for outward beauty. And, of course, you can have both, beauty and quality. But many a young man doesn't care about that. They just care about, is she pretty? And they're very shallow in that regard. So they don't look at the heart, don't care about the heart. We all have natural likes and dislikes. We have natural partiality. We like things, we're partial toward them. People we like and we're partial toward them. We have a history where we experience things that make us inclined to certain causes, and we become partial toward those causes. And we respect peoples who are in authority. And we naturally consider what would benefit us. If we befriend a rich man, or if we befriend a poor man, how the rich man might be able to get us a job somewhere, provide some of our needs. This is the way we naturally think. And if a person is influential or powerful, well, we show more respect. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about this matter of partiality. And I just printed out a number of verses that mention it. Let me just read you some and give you the references. Exodus 23:3, "You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute." So, no partiality to a poor man in his dispute. Deuteronomy 1:17, "You shall not show partiality in judgment." That's of any kind. "You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's." So, when Moses was putting the judges in place in Israel in the wilderness, he says, you show no partiality in judgment. Big, small, great, little, doesn't matter. You judge according to God's judgment. The judgment is God's. Deuteronomy 10:17, "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." Taking a bribe is injustice, and it is paid partiality. Give you $100, does that help you think differently about this? Yes, it does, as a matter of fact. That's partiality. So when a person offers a bribe and it is received, justice is perverted, and it's wrong. Deuteronomy 16:19, "You shall not pervert justice." So that whole thing is about justice. 2 Chronicles 19:7, "Now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes." Now in that sense, the fear of the Lord is brought in. That the fear of the Lord being upon us means that we do not act in iniquity and show partiality by taking a bribe. Psalm 82:2, "How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?" That in the way of a rebuke. Proverbs 18:5, "It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment." You think about our court system these days, it often rules in favor of the wicked for whatever reason. But it's not good. Proverbs 24:23, "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment." If you're wise, you don't show partiality in judgment. So, Proverbs 28:21, "To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress." You can bribe a person with even a morsel of bread if they're inclined to be partial. And they'll actually sell themselves to evil for a small amount. Malachi 2:9, "Therefore I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways but have shown partiality in the law." Those who should have in Israel judged righteously instead judge with partiality. Peter, remember when he got the vision in Acts chapter 10. And then he went and met with the Gentiles. God showed him and gave him a lesson. And he related that in Acts 10:34. He said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality." It means he is no respecter of persons. He doesn't adjust his judgment based upon the fact that a person is a rich person or a person of high standing. He judges righteously, justly. Romans 2:11, "For there is no partiality with God." Ephesians 6:9, "You masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him." These masters who would be hard on their slaves in an unjust way would be judged without partiality. God would not look at them as a master, having any rights to do that. He would judge them without partiality. Colossians 3:25, "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." 1 Timothy 5:21, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality." And finally, 1 Peter 1:17, "If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Being impartial is being in the fear of the Lord. It is respecting what God wants. Now, it's impossible, really. And it's frankly a mess. But it's hard, impossible for men to be totally impartial. Because a person in one state might do the same crime as a person in another state, and they'll get hit hard over here, and they'll be let go over here. We often, you know, spank the hand of someone who's done a terrible crime and then throw somebody in jail for 3 years for something that's way less. Because there's partiality and there's inequality in judgment. Now, James takes that up here because it's important. It is important to the fear of the Lord. It is important to justice. It is important to what is right. And it's an attitude that we carry in this world. And some people carry around with them all the time this thought that they're victims and that they're being cheated in some way or prejudiced against. And then they, in turn, because they feel that way, act in the same way toward others. And this Shangri-La desire that the world has to be perfectly equal, it just doesn't take long to look to see how far from that we are and how the methods of doing it are making matters worse. Recent polls believe that racial inequality, for example, is much worse in the last 6 years than it was before. So nothing's getting better based on what's being done. So James begins by saying the principle. "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality," with respecting of persons. And of course, it means not that you don't respect people, but that you respect all equally. You don't look at a person and say that they're more wrong because they're poor than that person who is rich is wrong because he's rich. It's not looking at your friends and saying, "Well, it's okay if you do that, but if somebody I don't like does that, well, that's a different story." James is very practical. And he speaks of the fact that when we are Christians, when we live for the Lord, then the outworking of our faith is that we are not partial. Christians have often sinned about this. And it's easy for us to become a product of our times. It doesn't mean we're to throw our minds away. And for example, Paul talks about all Cretans are liars. That would be considered today hate speech. But it was a characteristic of that particular group of people. And they had, you know, gotten into a bad way, like this, like the people of Sodom. They were wholly evil. And they earned it. They earned that judgment. They earned that estimation because they were. But it was because they were, not because they were living in Sodom, not because they were another country or city or something. The judgment was just and right. Partiality is unjust. It is reckoning judgment based upon outward things which appeal to me and are not based upon God. He gives the example there, verse 2. There should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there shall also come a poor man in filthy clothes. Well, that is a perfect illustration. This James has hit it right on the head, because this would happen. Church is not... I mean, churches are located in various places, and some churches are located in rich areas, and there will be more rich people there. And some are in poor areas, there will be more poor people there. But a church basically is whoever wants to come can come. And so the church opens up and people come. And a rich man comes in and a poor man comes in, and you know, you got a seating problem that day. Maybe meeting in a home or whatever. And there's just not a lot of room. And verse 3 says, you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes. You say to him, you sit here in a good place. And say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. So the rich man, because he's rich and got fine clothes on, well, you would never tell him to sit on the floor. But the poor man, who is not well dressed and has no financial power, is used to being downtrodden. Well, it's just easy to throw him off to the side somewhere, put him in the floor. And James says, if you do that, verse 4, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? That's where it comes from. It's evil, evil thoughts. If a person looks at a black man and judges him as inferior because he's black, that would be partial. That would be evil. Same with a white person. White person, that'd be evil. Someone who comes from overseas as a foreigner looking for, he's no good, because that would be partiality. This happens in our society all the time. At the same time, if some foreigner stands up and says, Allahu Akbar, well, you don't have to say, well, he's okay. He's given evidences of some kind of a terrorist connection. But that's not based upon where he's from or the color of his skin. It's based upon his actions. And that would not be partiality. It would not be respecter of persons. So James speaks about a very practical thing that in which we might be evil, just by nature. And you know, every one of us, if a rich person came in, there was nowhere to sit except in the floor, we would all think, we just can't do that. That's just, he's dressed too nicely. There's that guy over there, he's got all these clothes on, it don't look that good. He can sit over there. You see, that's what James says can't happen righteously. Listen, he says, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? He's saying there that you're seeing them the way you see them, but you're not seeing them the way God sees them. Has God not chosen the poor to be rich in faith? And you're discounting faith for physical riches here. So they're not seeing them through the eyes of God. But But you have dishonored the poor man, verse 6, instead of what God does. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Now he's saying, you're not even looking at the current world. Look at the rich. They are not, in every case, doing you righteousness. They're dragging you into courts and suing you. Do they not blaspheme, verse 7, that noble name by which you were called? So he's using a reason here about their own experience. Why would you give more to the rich when God raises the poor and the rich attack you in court? Again, he's not talking about partiality there. He's talking about what they do. But it goes back to the fact that if a person comes in, you don't show partiality. You don't put the rich man on the floor if there are seats available. You don't put, the poor man in a seat just because he's poor. There's no figuring on the person, the outward appearance part, in righteousness. Verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbors yourself, you do well. So he's saying there they're not loving their neighbors themselves. They're not considering the welfare of the neighbor. They're not respecting and loving the neighbor as they would themselves want to be loved and respected. If you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. And he mentions that if you commit murder and don't commit adultery, you've violated the law. So partiality is a violation of the law. Now, where it's come in our day, I was reading some story a while back, is a guy was trying to get into college, couldn't get accepted, had all the grades, couldn't get accepted because he was the wrong color. And this is done because of the fact that this is the way we deal with impartiality. We become partial. This is the way we deal with partiality. We become partial. We don't like prejudice, so we institute prejudice. And the guy changed his application, and he made himself a person of color, and he got accepted. Of course, I don't know what they did when they found out. But you see, that's partiality. It happens all the time. In a world that says we shouldn't be partial. Christians are victims of that in these days. Often a Christian is targeted. If you're a Christian and you receive in persecution a partial judgment, a prejudicial judgment. You are judged by the fact that you're a Christian. And our society is guilty of these things, and yet they decry it. How awful it is. How terrible it is. How this inequality is so bad, and yet practice it all the time. Christians are not to do it. Verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. He mentions the law of liberty back in verse 25 of chapter 1. He looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Law of liberty is, for a Christian, the law is an expression of the will of God. It is liberty. It is the ability to do what we're made to do. It is freedom. It is the ability to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And we don't look at the law in the same way as a Christian. as something to do to make us righteous, but it's something to do because God has made us righteous. So we speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty, by God expecting us to do what is right. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So in that regard then, James says that if you are impartial, you are showing mercy. As opposed to the poor man comes in and gets no mercy because he's poor. And he gets no impartiality because he's poor. When Peter stood there, you remember the Jews were very much partial by being Jews. And to a degree, God told them to be that way for a time. Not that the person was looked upon as, you know, bad just in himself. You know, it wasn't the case. But Israel was to be a particular nation. They were to be separate from the other nations, while God brought the word of God, the gospel, to the world through Israel. So Israel was his special people. And then, when the new covenant was instituted by the blood of Christ, and the line between Jew and Gentile was obliterated, there was just Christians. And a Jew was not a Jew because he was a child of Abraham, but a true Jew was a person who walked with God and knew the Lord. Not a person who outwardly, but a person inwardly who was a Jew. So Peter was the one who had the keys to the kingdom and opened these doors to these various groups of people. He preached at Pentecost, and when it was time, he went to the Samaritans, and then when it was time for the Gentiles, he went to Cornelius. And before he did that, the Lord lowered a sheet with all these unclean animals there. And Peter was hungry in his trance, in his dream. He was told to rise and eat these things. And Peter said, I've never eaten stuff like that. I've never eaten common food and impure, dirty stuff like that. And then God says, what God has cleansed, don't call common. And that happened three times. And then he came to and found that Cornelius' servants had sent for him as according to what the Spirit had told him. And he was to go with them and to be with them and to preach the gospel to them. And he went inside the home of Gentiles, which Jews would not do. It was a great deal of partiality, great deal of prejudice. Remember Jesus when he stopped in John 4 at the well in Samaria to talk to the woman there. The John tells us, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. If you were a Samaritan, didn't even want to deal with you. That's partiality. That's prejudice. Why don't I talk to you? Because you're a Samaritan. But Gentiles are even worse. Why don't I talk to you? Because I'm holier than you. I don't talk to trash like you. This is the way the Jews felt. Not that they would say it in those words. But Peter was shown that what God had cleansed, do not call common. The gospel came. He preached the gospel. When he stood up and preached, he says, God has told me that, you know, I shouldn't show partiality. And he preached the gospel, and these Gentiles came to know the Lord. When Peter got back, he was cornered. Why did you go to the Gentiles and go into a Gentile house? And he says, hey, this all happened to me. I just had to do what God told me to do. And it calmed them because they were just so upset about it. Because in the new covenant, the gospel went forth into all the world. There was no more Jew and Gentile. And the distinctions were gone. The temple services were no longer valuable. The sacrifices were obliterated, fulfilled in Christ. And to the Christian, we value people based upon the fact that they're a people. We preach the gospel to them because they're a people. They're a person. Whatever color, whatever culture, whatever their background, it just doesn't really matter. And who comes to church just does not matter. It is God who is impartial. God who shows no partiality. Yet there are churches, Southern Baptist churches, if a black person walked in, they'd have a hissy fit. And the same would go the other way in a lot of cases. If a white person walked into a black church, they'd wonder what was going on. It goes both ways. And yet in Christ, it's not to. It's verse 1 of James 2. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. It's what really Martin Luther King said. That we be judged not by the color of our skin, but the content of our character. That is a brilliant statement. Now, I don't go with everything he did and the way he did it, but that was a great statement. That's the way God looks at things. And as a Christian, that's the way we are to be, to not hold our faith with partiality. Any comments you have on this?